My name's Tom. Privileged to serve you. I'm one of the pastors here. And we do have the opportunity to sing together, to pray together, to gather around the Lord's table together, and to look at God's Word together on Sundays. So we'll do that again. This week, it came to my mind, I want you to help me with this, fill in the blank, pop quiz. A musician some decades ago sang this, and the tune was so melodious and the message so profound. What is it? All we are saying is give peace a chance. From the lips of John Lennon, who strangely died from a gunshot. Way before that, the Bible highlighted and spoke much about peace. Do you know that peace shows up 400 plus times in the Bible? Major topic. A longing of our heart. So I want to read a couple verses. We're not going to read all 400 of those, all right? It would take us too long. But listen to several, and then we'll pray again, and then look at this one verse. Blessed are the peacemakers. So in the Psalms, Psalm 29 reads this way. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Great. That's a great promise. The old prophet Isaiah, recorded in chapter 26, says, you, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast or stayed on thee because they trust you, Lord. Yeah. If you fast forward to the life of Christ in John chapter 14, he said this, Jesus said this to his followers, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now, I don't give to you as the world does. Jesus said, so don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He said, my peace I give to you. The Apostle Paul, we have this recorded in Colossians chapter 3, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. One more. In Romans, this is one we'll come back to later this morning. If it is possible, says in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of peace, that you have brought us into a life of peace with you and others through Christ. As we look to your word today, would you quiet us, challenge us, change us? May your word come alive into our lives. May we respond to you, Lord, in a way that you would want, because you are a lover of peace, a creator of peace, and you've invited us to be peacemakers. Pray in Jesus' sake. Amen. So, we've been in a study. It's called Upside Down Living. If you're new, that's a strange thought, isn't it? The reason is we're in the introductory part of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' inaugural sermon is, and so it's very important. It's like the entryway into this thing of following Jesus. And there have been six steps so far. If you haven't been with us, you could check it out online. They're recorded there for you. But the first six steps are really prerequisite to being peacemaker. What have they been? Poor in spirit. Spiritually, we come bankrupt, empty-handed before God. We mourn over sin. That leads us into a life of meekness, a longing, hunger and thirst for righteousness. We become more and more people of mercy, and we have this purity of heart that we talked about last week. And now, the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus Christ teaches us that blessed followers are agents of peace. So today we'll explore, what does it mean? What is this peace, and what does it mean to be a peacemaker? And we're going to ask you to respond in some very personal, practical ways at the close of today. Matthew 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers," said Jesus, "for they will be called children of God." Notice what Jesus does not say. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't say things like, "Blessed are those who appreciate peace," or "prefer peace," or "wish for peace," or "await peace," or "kind of like peace," or "sing about peace," or "study peace." He doesn't say those things. What he says, it's a very active thing. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Beatitude people are agents of peace. So what is this peace Jesus talks about? Let's contrast it for a minute. In our culture, in our news, when we consider peace, what are we often thinking about and talking about? It's very often like the absence of conflict. You know, it's like, oh, that war is finally over, or that feud is like coming to a close. So very often when we think about peace, we have this notion, well, it's just like sort of an absence of conflict. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. That's not actually what the Bible talks about. Peace in the Bible, there's one main Old Testament word and one main New Testament word, but here's the summary. The biggest word in the Bible referring to peace is, some of you know it, it's shalom. Shalom. In fact, if you have friends in Israel, Jewish friends, a very common greeting, my understanding is even to this day, is shalom. What is that? It's wishing peace upon the one greeted. It's what is that saying? May you experience the righteousness and goodness of God. It's like shalom, God's highest good be upon you. It's beautiful, isn't it? And that word, actually, the word means wholeness, well-being in the fullest sense, ultimate blessing, profound well-being. That is God's view of peace when we talk about it from the scripture. Now, I thought about an example of that. I heard this story. In Southern California, there was an artist's competition. This guild gave local artists the opportunity to do paintings on different subjects. And once upon a time, this was several years ago, this topic was, well, let's paint about peace. And then the paintings are reviewed and, you know, the awards and the kind of ribbons or whatever's given. And so people did, and the paintings were up, and most of the paintings on the topic of peace were images and pictures of tranquility, you know, like in nature, quietness, beauty, calmness. Not bad, right? Yeah. You know what the winner was? Is the winning painting reflected this biblical idea. Picture this. There was a storm in the background, there was a rushing river, and then a tree by the river, and the image was like the leaves were blowing in the wind, so like it was like a little bit of a storm, you know, stormy circumstances, and on a branch of that tree overhanging the river was a nest with baby birds and a mother, quiet in the midst of a storm. It's a biblical idea of peace. And now most of you today would say, don't need any more storm. You know, I have enough of that. This idea of peace from God is like that place of respite in the midst of difficult circumstances. That's what we're talking about. That's peace in the Bible. Just the quick overview, the Bible says all over the place, God himself is a God of peace and is a peacemaking God. Peace is ultimately a gift to us from God. One Bible student said this, peace is undefiled harmony with God and with others. By the way, that's why purity of heart came just before this, right? All right. So here's something I want you to take away today. Once you and I receive peace, we can then extend peace or be agents of peace or be instruments of peace. That makes sense? Like, we actually don't give out of that which we don't have. So part of your invitation today is what would it mean to be for you to be living in greater peace and then to be extending peace with and among those around you. So what's the problem? You might go, well, we all like, anybody against that? Who here would be against peace? Probably not many. Although sometimes we behave as if we are, you know, right? So could I get like personal today? And because this is where we live. I'm going to suggest that there are three kinds of things that we do related to peace. Here's the overview. Sometimes we're peace breakers, sometimes we are peace keepers, and sometimes we can become peacemakers, all right? So what are these three? Can we go there? All right, let's do. What's a peace breaker? A peace breaker, when we live there, we actually start by not having peace in our own hearts. That's a core problem. Peace breakers tend to attack. And you go, like, I know somebody like that. How do we attack? Sometimes it's aggressive. Peace breakers can be verbally aggressive, call other names, even to the point of dehumanizing, even demonizing others by name calling, or physically aggressive. Some of you have experienced being hit, being punched, being whatever. Harm's been done. You know that. Sometimes it's more passive-aggressive. You have anybody in your life that tends to pout? I mean, that's older than 2 years old. tends to pout or whine or diss by rolling their eyes. By the way, studies show that that's profoundly peace-breaking. Or slamming doors, or grumbling or complaining, passively aggressive. A peace breaker slogan is, I'm going to win at all cost. The commitment is to be right. The posture is self-righteous. The style is aggressive. The means is to, I'm just speaking my mind and trying to be truthful. Peace breaking creates fear and disturbs peace. That's one thing we can do, right? What's the deal with peace keepers? We're learning a new language as a community. I'm hoping it's a peacemaking language. So here, there's a difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. What's a peacekeeper? Peacekeepers actually desire things to be peaceable. That's good. But the tendency is to avoid. Some of us are like this. And maybe not here. I mean, this is a good, you know, but in some churches, it's like this, right? What do we do when we avoid things that are filled with tension or sometimes conflict, that we deny, that's, minimize, that's not that bad, you know, or rationalize, or do nothing, or say nothing, or withdraw? The peacekeeper slogan is, I actually am willing to keep peace sort of at all costs. That's what I'm trying to do. The commitment is to appease. The posture is one of insecurity. The style is passive. The means is I'm just trying to absorb tension and be loving, right? Huh. Peacekeeping creates a false peace that will eventually erupt in some way. Brian, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just got inspired. I had to get current with you. I'm struggling with, I saw Matt Littlehale this morning, right? I was just like, I'm in worship, and I'm trying to just focus on the Lord. So I lent my car to him, second time, right? So it bothers me so much. First time I lend my car, he's got coffee cups all over the front, crumbs on the seat. I'm like, all right, fine. I just try to look past it. Second time I lend the car to him, same thing. Coffee cups all over, crumbs. There's like hardly any gas in the car.
Hey Brian.
It really upset me. It's really hard to be in church today.
May sound like I'm being rude, but could I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Well, so this sounds like this is really important to you, right?
Oh, it's really important. It's bothered me. It's really hard to be in worship with
them. Well, I can tell because you're talking about it, and it's, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. What happened when you talked with Matt about that?
When I did what?
Well, no, what happened when you talked with Matt about that?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
I can't do that. I just want to, you know, overlook it. For the sake of Jesus, and you know, we're brothers in Christ. You know, I wouldn't bring it up. I mean, that would make me feel uncomfortable.
Well, so like, I really care about both you guys. So could I offer a suggestion?
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing, because I care about you so much, I don't want to hear any more about it because it doesn't relate to me. But it's important to you, and it has to do with you and Matt. So two choices.
Okay.
One is, how about you pray and figure out how you could talk with Matt about it?
All right.
Or if that's just not working, let me or somebody else know that might be helpful, and we'll like go with you or something, or you and Matt, it'll work out well. Is that fair? One of those.
That'd be different.
Are you good?
I'm with you.
Let's do that. All right. And by the way, let me know how the conversation goes. When will you have it? By when?
I think by Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. All right. So one of the big disruptors of peace in our relationships are when you know what, Brian? I like him. Now, this isn't characteristic of Brian, right? Don't get the wrong idea. So the idea is, now, if we, what does that border on if it isn't? The Bible actually calls what Brian was doing gossip, right? But you know what gossip is? A really good Bible student and social scientist, the best definition of gossip is this. It's discrediting talk about someone who's not present. Discrediting talk about someone who's not present. Now, my wife and I have a guideline that we've pretty much operated by. She probably does it better than me, actually. But when we first got married, we said, you know, we would be smart if when we're out and about with people, she does her leadership things and I do mine. We do some things separate, we do some things together. But when we're separate, I can talk about my wife as much as I want, as long as I'm speaking about the many, many good things that's part of who she is and what she does, right? That's affirming. Totally open, good to go. Now, on those rare occasions, my wife has more opportunity at this than me, because I create more problems for her than she does for me, actually. But if one of us has something that we're just crosswise with each other about, and we're like, it's hard to like each other at that time, you know, like we're not the only ones, right? That have, okay. So when it's that, guess what? Our commitment is that goes nowhere until we work with it between us. And if we get stuck, then we include one or more key people to help us. Does that make sense? Though those are good guidelines in our family and in our church family. Does that make sense? So when we gossip is one of the great peace disturbers or peace breakers. And one of the things that actually isn't talked about in God's word, but we've learned from social scientists, is first responders to gossip, it's critical. So if we fail as first responders to contain and redirect into what's helpful and constructive, there's a potential wildfire waiting to happen. You know what I'm talking about, right? Suppose I would have said to Brian, well, yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. Matt's really a rascal, isn't he? By the way, I'm going to go tell somebody else that. Anyway, you get that. And the fire can rage quickly. Peacebreakers, peacekeepers, what's our alternative? Let's get there. The alternative is what Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. What is this? Peacemakers have peace, the peace of Christ in their hearts, to start with. The peacemaker slogan is no false peace. The commitment is to reconcile. The posture is humble and vulnerable. The style is taking prayerful initiative. Peacemaking is active, is taking the right initiative. The means is to speak the truth in love. Peacemaking results in reconciled relationships. That's what Jesus is talking about. A peacemaker is anyone used by God to help heal damaged relationships. The Apostle Paul said, the ministry of reconciliation, that is peacemaking. We can be part of that. It's a great thing. Here's one thing I want you to remember, and then we'll talk about five things that peacemakers do. And then I'm going to ask you to respond to one, make one response today yourself. Remember this. Once we receive grace, then we can extend grace. Once we receive forgiveness, then we can extend forgiveness. Once we receive peace, then we can extend peace, right? We only give out of that which we have. Do you have the peace of God in your heart today? Five things that peacemakers do. Ready? You'll see them before you, but would you consider this? I've looked at the scope of Scripture, and it's hard to kind of boil this down. Here's my best shot. If you might say, okay, if we're peacemakers, what does it look like? Paint a portrait. So here's five things. First thing peacemakers do is we make peace with God. Do you know that, like Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you here today, that's a new idea. Like, that'd be cool. I could be good with God. Well, yeah, and God's taken care of that for us in the person and work of Christ. And if you haven't stepped across that line of faith, that is one of the ways that we're going to invite you to respond today, because we are not fully adequate peacemakers ever until we first of all have peace with God. You can have that today by trusting in the person and work of Christ, what he's done for you on the cross. The gospel is the good news that God made peace with us and between us in Christ Jesus. That's one thing. The second thing, there's actually a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Have you noticed that? Those two ideas are in the Bible. The second thing is that you have the peace of God. What is that? Ephesians 2 said, God himself is our peace. We cannot be people of peace without the peace of God in our hearts. Do you experience the peace of God? Now, this week, interestingly, as I've been pondering this and preparing this, a lot has happened to kind of in my life, and I'm sure probably in yours, that it hasn't been all that easy having the experience of God's peace in my life. When we need that, if we're in Christ, I found myself praying something like this: God, I know you're good. You might want to try, do this. Do this when the peace of God is escaping you. You know, God, I wonder, you are good, you are holy, you are sovereign, you know about me and this situation. You desire my holiness even more than my happiness. God, you're going to lead and protect and provide as I trust and obey. And the peace of God can come to us then again and again. Right? Some of us need that. You're in some circumstance, you go, man, I'm everything but peaceable right now in the midst of this. So we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. The third thing that peacemakers do is we discern real issues. Romans 12:18 says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace or live at peace with all people, with everyone. That requires discernment. Does it not? Like one part of discernment is, man, if I'm crosswise with somebody, what's my part? It's easier just to say it's all their fault. What's my part? We discern that, don't we? Hopefully. I had a friend come to me here not long ago, and he said, hey, Tom, I almost took an Advil or an aspirin, then I decided not to. I said, well, okay. But he said, well, here's the thing. I realized it probably wouldn't help. Well, tell me more about that. Well, I did have a headache, so it might have helped my headache. But then I realized I haven't been sleeping very well. That may be why I had a headache. And I think the reason I wasn't sleeping well is my concern had really turned to worry about a person in our family. And I think my concern had turned to worry because I actually I've failed to take prayerful initiative with my spouse to talk about this and be together on how we could be responding well. And so I realized if the issue is actually me not taking prayerful right initiative in a conversation, an Advil or an aspirin probably wasn't going to help. You see what I'm saying? All right. So it wasn't just a headache. That was an evident, that was a symptom. But we don't only go after the headache. What's the real issue? If we fail to discern real issues, we deal with conflict or things in matters that just create division rather than promote and reconciliation in our relationships. You know that. All right. So the fourth thing, peacekeepers regularly disrupt false peace. Now, if you read through the Gospels, one of the striking things is every time Jesus, there's no exceptions that we can find, every time Jesus encounters false peace, especially with the religious people and religious leaders, you know what he does? He confronts it. One church leader said, you know, I've realized when I give food to the poor, there are some people that call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, some people call me a communist. Is being willing to disrupt a false peace or a, you know, I'm fine with the way things are, even if when it's not right. Huh? Yeah. As we become more like Jesus, we do that. How do we do that? Here's the final thing that peacekeepers do. Peacekeepers are characterized by Ephesians 4:15 communication. You know what that is? Speaking the truth in love. Sign of emotional, spiritual maturity, because it says then in Ephesians 4:15, then we grow up. Ha! We mature. Speaking the truth in love is a key thing to us growing up together. Well, if we speak truth without love, that can be brutal and harmful. If we are landing on, well, I'm just going to be loving without truth, well, that can be emotional, but frankly, unhelpful. The Bible talks about speaking truth in love. We can grow and learn in that. That's some of what Tuesday night's going to be about and Wednesday night, if you're interested in how to put wheels on this. Jesus himself, friends, he came full of what? Grace and truth. Grace is not one or the other, it's both. We can live more like that. Those who speak truth in love are peacemakers. All right, much more we could say about this. We'll talk about more applications on Tuesday and Wednesday if you have a chance to show up. All I am saying here now is give peace a chance, huh? Now, one way to do that today, Pastor Matt reminded you there's a card on your seat. We're going to sing in a moment, but I really want you to, like, would you do this? I double dare you. Take that card, and I'd like you to look over those and say, God, which one of these do you want me to respond to? Which one? One of them is to have peace with God. And the invitation is you place your faith and trust in Jesus. We're happy to talk with you more about that major, major eternal decision. have peace with God through Christ. Some of you say, I'm ready to decide that today. If you want, this is not a hand-washing basin. If you mark one of the first two, you can drop your card in up here. We'll pray with you, get back to you. But those of you who say, I want peace with God, I want to grow more in having the peace of God in some very difficult circumstances in my life. If you want, check that, put your name on that, drop it off here. We'd love to follow up with you. Those are two decisions. The third one, all right, some of you just say, to be honest, I need to make peace with someone. Would you write the name in there, or names? And keep that. I mean, I'm actually praying that you write a name in and keep it, and that thing will pester you until you take a God-led step toward peacemaking, right? And the fourth one is some of you have people on your heart that need to know Christ and need to have peace with God. And you're going to pray for them, and you're going to pursue a conversation that they might come to know the God of all peace. Would you write that name in there? And you pray and pursue. Well, and ask us to join you if you want. But I'm guessing that almost all of you would have at least one of those things to respond to today. So as the band comes up, Lord, work with us. We're going to pray and sing and go to the Lord's table. So Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God of peace. We long for authentic, deep, not false peace, but real peace. Thank you that you have done that work in Christ. May the peace with you be rich. May we relish the peace of Christ in our lives. Lord, for those of us who need to pursue reconciliation with someone, would you move us into being peacemakers with one another? And we do pray for those that are on our hearts today that need to know you, family, friends, workmates, schoolmates. We want to commit to praying for them and living in a way that they might come to know you, God of all peace. May we boldly make these decisions as we sing and come to the table now for Jesus' sake. Amen.